everybody. Welcome to Sitting Around Talking Movies. I'm Neil Rosen. I'm here, as always, with Bill Brigoli.
Hi there.
And Bill McCuddy.
My rig is about to blow.
Yeah, we're talking about Deepwater Horizon, the movie that looks at the BP oil spill disaster back in 2010 this week. We're also going to look at a couple of other movies like...
And we'll hear from Mark Wahlberg and director Peter Berg.
We will. And we're going to talk about a movie called Miss Stevens, an indie movie. We're going to talk about a movie called Swiss Army Man with Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano. And we're going to talk about a movie called Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Are you a first-time listener? Probably not.
I am, actually. I haven't been listening this whole time we've been doing this. I've never listened until today.
What do we
today.
Do here, Bill McCuddy?
We watch the bad movies so you don't have to.
We do. And let's talk about Deepwater Horizon. So if you're new to the party on this, this is based on the rig, the oil rig called Deepwater Horizon that was about 40-some-odd miles off the Louisiana coast in the Gulf of Mexico that blew up back in 2010. And Mark Wahlberg and Kurt Russell, he's kind of the head honcho on the rig, and Wahlberg's kind of like his maybe first or second in command. I think that would be kind of like
apropos. Yeah.
And they're just trying to make sure
he's the skipper and Wahlberg is Gilligan.
Yeah, they're trying to make sure that safety standards are met while John Malkovich is this greedy BP executive who just wants to cut corners. He doesn't care about safety practice. He just drill, baby, drill. That's his whole thing. And, of course, the thing explodes.
Of course, the way he said it was drill, baby, drill.
Yes, he has that Cajun accent. And the first half of the movie is a lot of techno babble that nobody's going to understand unless you work on an oil rig. It's just like... Pull the parameters
but you don't
down
dumb it
to
down.
The side.
Michael Crichton used to say, you don't dumb it down. People will catch up. They want to feel like they're being told information in a cool way, and I think that's what this does.
Well,
but we can talk about that.
So the first half of the movie is you kind of meet some of the players, and there's a lot of techno babble. And the second part, once the thing explodes, it's just a big budget disaster action movie with
the towering inferno on water.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's just there's no why don't you tell me what you thought of this movie, Bill Brigoli, before I try, because I have a lot to say here. But
I'm going to get to talk.
Talk, please.
We're as stunned as you are.
I know. As you said, the techno babble threw me, but I like Bill's point. Just throw me in there, make me feel like I'm a fly on the wall. And that's what this did. You don't get to know the characters too much. What they did do with Mark Wahlberg and Kate Hudson in the beginning with the little daughter, that was so obvious.
That's like movie where they had the movies 101.
Her school science project blew up. And
can you get me a piece of a dinosaur, Daddy?
Yeah, there's foreshadowing. I mean, you could flash in the bottom of the screen, foreshadowing. Things will blow up.
It's a formula movie. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. What did the other parent bring in to show and tell that he can't compete with? I forgot what. A penguin.
How do you compete with a penguin? I kind of like the action part of it because it just went crazy. And it made me really nervous because one of my other jobs, I work in a room full of dials and equipment. And the idea of oil spewing out and burning me to death with one of those things just scared me. So I was pretty good with it. John Malkovich was interesting, I thought, because he made a commitment. He was going to throw in that Cajun accent, and I don't know how real it was. I don't know how understandable it was.
Somebody said he sounded like James Carville.
He's the best thing in the movie. I mean, I just loved watching him. I did not like watching the movie, but again, I'm going to chime in on this in a moment.
Well, why don't we hear from the filmmakers? Maybe before we tell them how much we didn't like it, maybe we should have Peter Berg tell us what his vision
was. Sure, Bill Brigoli spoke with Peter Berg.
Yeah, we don't give enough credit to Brigoli. Brigoli goes every week to these junkets and press conferences and stuff, and he gathers the sound that we get to play on this show. And so today, he brings us the star and the director.
That's right, and the director talked about making this movie in Louisiana.
To be able to have people that were on the rig, who knew people who were on the rig, the families of the men who were killed, and help us make sure that we got it right. That was very helpful. But in general, just having that energy, you know, having someone that really went through it is a reminder that this is real stuff.
And then Mark Wahlberg talked about making a movie based on real people and real events.
It really becomes about making sure that you make these families proud and you do these guys justice. And then everybody's working twice as hard for that, and everybody has that same goal. So it doesn't happen that often, but it's a special experience.
It's funny that Mark Wahlberg is thrilled with this movie paying and doing justice to the real people, because Neil Rosen doesn't think that happened at all. On today's show, he thinks that...
On today's television show called Talking Pictures, which airs locally on New York One and nationally on Time Warner Cable.
That there was a heinous crime in how this was portrayed. I just think it's a good movie. I just think it's entertaining, and I'm glad that it's based on something real, because instead of being some bullshit premise, I get to find out the real history of this thing. And I also didn't say on the show, I think, and Bill and I were talking about this before the show, I think it's really hard on BP. I'm actually kind of surprised they got to make it.
Okay, first of all, screw BP, okay? Because of their gross negligence, millions and millions of barrels of oil, like, spilled into the Gulf. And I think that this movie was a real missed opportunity. I mean, I remember watching this when it unfolded in 2010 and how they couldn't cap that well, you know, and every day millions of more barrels were, like, spilling in and polluting the Gulf.
They mentioned
that. That is basically a title card at the end of the movie going,
But Neil, that's what you know, not what you don't know.
Yeah, and Peter Berg
said... That's the interesting movie to me. Like, how do we plug up the well? Not this stupid thing. Go ahead.
Well, Peter Berg said the interesting thing to him was that 11 people died. And nobody really knew that. All they knew was the easy TV story is you get your helicopter, you go above, you shoot that oil slick, and you go, oh, my God, look at this.
That's and those 11 people are nicely honored at the end of the film in a way that normally doesn't happen. So yeah. I thought that was good.
Well, here's why I don't like the movie, because I think that although well intent to honor those people, there's no question about that, I think that he, by making a traditional, even though it's not the summer, it's kind of a summer action disaster action, blockbuster movie, you water down the real... crux of what this thing is about, and it's about the gross negligence of BP, and it's about how the environment got polluted, and it's, you know, what am I looking at? I'm looking at, for the first half of the movie, there's no backstory on Kurt Russell's character at all. I mean, he's Mr. Jimmy. That's the character's name, and he just shows
In a way, the whole movie's a backstory to what really happened. I mean, Bill's right that normally just the news story is all we knew about, and the fact that you watched every day to see if it got capped or not and think that's a more interesting movie isn't really the point
here. Okay, so
let's say they made this movie, and this movie is exciting and well done.
No, it's not. It's boring. The last 40 minutes of this movie, once the thing blows up, it's just, is it great from a special effects standpoint? Sure. The fire looks good, okay? No question about it. But, I mean, after 10 minutes of this, it's just like more like boom, boom, explosion, fire. I've seen Kurt Russell, by the way, battle fire before in another movie directed by Ron Howard called Backdraft. And, you know, been there, done that. And this is like hundreds of other disaster movies. And it's kind of sad because this is a real tragic incident, and I don't want it to be a generic movie that could be a fictionalized thing. I mean, you said Towering Inferno. I could name you 9 other movies that it's like just follows this formulaic, generic pattern.
If you don't want a formulaic action film, which I totally agree it is, don't go see it. But I think it's honored by the fact that it is about something real, and it takes what could have been just a regular, boring, CGI-filled movie and gives it some reason to be.
And it will sell a whole lot more tickets because people will want to go see things blow up, frankly.
It's a dopey action flick, and that's really sad considering the magnitude of this tragedy. That's what I think, you know? And even if I got a – even if this was a fictional thing and this never happened and I was just viewing this movie solely on the basis of, okay, here's an action flick about an oil rig that blows up in the middle of the thing and this never happened, I would still say it's boring. There's not enough character development and there's too much action at the end despite how nicely it's filmed. It gets very tedious.
Yes, but too much action at the end. That's a reason
there is
to see
it's
you're right. There's
fine.
Way
you're,
too
all right,
much
you're
action.
Right. It's great. Jeez, what a great movie. And you know, I like Peter Berg. He did one of my all-time favorite television shows, Friday Night Lights.
Right.
And you know, that was all about character, not about action or football games and play. I mean, I tell people, if you don't even like football, you'll like this because the character development. Did you used to watch that show?
Yeah, I used to fall asleep every night.
Like
The Kingdom is a great Peter Berg movie.
Well, that last one he made too, which was with
Peter Berg. Did I say Peter Berg?
With the Mark Wahlberg, the last movie he made?
Yeah, Soul Survivor.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Lone Survivor.
That's a good one. All right, so anyway, so this other movie opens up in on demand and in theaters this week. It's called Miss Stevens. Bill, take it away.
This is one of my favorite movies of the year.
God knows why.
Lily Rabe, who's the daughter of the late Jill Clayburgh and the playwright David Rabe, is really... I think, incredible. Maybe I had a drama teacher like this or a school teacher like this. She's an English teacher who takes three kind of misfits to a drama competition. It's one of those go-away trips that you have to have permission slips for. And, yes, we get sort of a John Hughes ragtag three bunch of kids who go along on this thing. But I think that the storyline that you think is going to turn into some creepy stalker movie about a teacher and an underage kid turns out to be something completely different and very real. So this I highly recommend it.
Okay, I don't. And
Timothy Chalamet, I want to also mention as the guy Billy, who apparently was playing Bill McCuddy, because I like this movie a lot. I must have had an English teacher. Okay. I never
thought that it was going to turn into this creepy thing that you suggest that you know.
Well, I think most people think that's where it's going.
No. Okay. First of all, you know, I didn't really. I don't hate the movie. But you told me that your wife saw the movie, and she thinks it's her favorite movie of the year. I asked her that, and she goes, it's not my favorite movie.
No. She likes it a lot. I said it's in my top 10 is what I said,
well,
and it's one of her favorites.
I don't hate the movie. I don't love the – I'm mixed on the movie. I think Lily Rabe does a nice job from an acting standpoint. But I didn't really care that much about the character or about the kids or the main kid who's goes off his meds. I don't think that's really a spoiler. He's like has emotional problems, you know. And you know, first time director Julia Hart, who also wrote the screenplay, made a film that didn't really suck me in that much. I mean, the most interesting thing in the film to me is, as you said, Bill, they're away on a on a trip in a motel with the kids to go to this drama competition. And
she's single.
And she's single. And she, I won't spoil this. There's another teacher there who's married, and is there something going to happen between those two? And that plot line, which only constitutes maybe 10% of the movie.
But what was maybe not going to or going to happen between the student and the teacher? You didn't find interesting at all.
No, I never thought that was going to happen. I just never thought that was going to happen. I think that I've seen elements of this movie in many other films. The only interesting thing here is that Lily Rabe, she's very damaged herself, you know, and she...
In the film, right.
Yeah, and she does some growing.
And there's a lovely opening and closing that bookends the movie.
It's okay.
It's really cool.
All right, you know,
we can't give too much of it away.
Period. I said I'm mixed. I said I don't hate it and I don't love it. I'd barely give it a pass.
Well, on behalf of
Bregoli didn't see it.
On behalf of Julia Hart, thank you very much.
Now, Bill Bregoli, you did not see this movie called Swiss Army Man, did you?
I did see this movie.
You did?
I don't want to explain it because I saw it a while ago and I couldn't figure it out, but
I'm going to
I liked how weird it was. Go ahead and explain it.
Okay. Oh, you like the weird.
Okay. I'm not making this up. Okay. First of all, McCuddy and I think it's probably one of the worst movies of the year. I can't even make this up if I wanted to. So Paul Dano, who we know from many movies, There Will Be Blood, and playing Brian Wilson in the recent Beach Boys movie. What was that?
Ruby Sparks. I love
that Beach Boy movie.
My favorite movie of the year. Love and Mercy.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. So movie opens. He's on a desert island. And a dead body, Daniel Radcliffe, a dead body washes up on the shore. And the dead body, played by Daniel Radcliffe, farts a lot.
A lot.
And
enough to power him like a ski jet.
Like a ski jet across the water. Now, Daniel Radcliffe somehow comes back to life, and they go on this... series of adventures on the island, including one where Paul Dano dresses up in drag and puts on a wig to try to
arouse Daniel Radcliffe's penis
and his memory of what it's like to
Daniel Radcliffe's penis points towards home and guides them like a compass.
Yeah, this is like a bad
version. We're not making this stuff up, folks.
This is like a bad version of Castaway meets a bad version of Weekend at Bernie's meets a terrible episode, and there are not many terrible episodes of Twilight Zone, but meets a terrible episode of that.
Meets a twisted episode of Gilligan's Island, to bring up Gilligan's Island again.
you know, I call this a watch movie. And what I mean by that is, and Bill is a watch collector, is I'm looking at my watch every 2 minutes because time is passing so slowly.
This is one of the worst pieces of shit I've ever seen.
Well, actually.
And it's only 90 minutes.
Wait, Bergoglio
said I liked it. I have to agree with you guys. This is terrible, but I liked how it was so terrible. That
Some people are admiring it for it. I think it's passing at like 60 or 65% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I find stunning. It's like a Gondry film. Like it's got a lot of imagination in the middle.
These two guys take
trash and make them into little venue sets and stuff, and act out these little stories.
It's kind of unwatchable. I have to see. I suffered through the movie, and I mean, suffered is really the word there.
And I love Paul Dano, and I admire Daniel Radcliffe, although he's made so many bad choices.
I like
in the
that
last
neo-Nazi
2 years.
Movie that he made recently, where he goes undercover to infiltrate like a neo-Nazi ring.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good movie. But this is just I'm embarrassed for Daniel Radcliffe. What really annoyed me about this movie, other than everything, is that these first-time directors, Dan Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, are trying to pass this off as some higher art, meaningful thing.
And they're getting away with it with some people.
And it's a Charlie Kaufman wannabe, and it's really just a piece of crap.
It's rudderless. I don't mind eccentric, but this one has absolutely no redeeming.
It lacks intelligence, it's not funny. I mean, what are we, in like fifth grade here with these fart jokes?
So do we have anything that we can recommend on demand?
Yeah. Recommend this movie called Mike and Dave Wedding Day, which is on DVD this week and comes on demand this week. And, you know, it's with Zac Efron and Aubrey Plaza and Anna Kendrick. And Adam Devine, who, if you're a Modern Family watcher, he's the one that he was the Manny. Not Manny, the character. He was a male nanny. He was a Manny. Because there's a character called Manny on Modern Family. And then he starts going out with Haley. I believe that's her character's name. So he's in this too. And
Well, these two guys.
Yeah.
Always get in trouble together. So
they're brothers.
They're always screwing up. Their sister's getting married. And their dad says, look, you're not going to the wedding because all you do is embarrass. There's a collage at the beginning of the film of how they embarrass the family at other events. You're not going unless you bring dates, real serious dates, and because you won't want to embarrass yourself in front of dates. Well, that goes wrong because the dates they bring turn out to be too, shysters?
Kind of
it's funny. They go on Craigslist, and then they blow up on social media, and then they get on the Wendy Williams show, and these girls wake up in a hangover and go, we're going to Hawaii, and then scheme their way into it.
The dangling carrot is that, we're looking for two dates, and you're going to go on a free trip to Hawaii.
So one pretends to be a teacher, and one pretends to be a hedge fund investor.
I hedge it really good.
But they're really two trashy girls.
And Anna Kendrick, who I'm just so in love with. I mean, she is such a blank canvas as an actress, and then she just completely takes over these roles. She's also very funny to follow her on Twitter, or at least look at her Twitter account. It's hilarious.
Well, I think Aubrey Plaza steals the movie.
I wouldn't steal it. They're good. They're like,
but there are a lot of
Romy and Michelle go to their high school reunion as a strong comedy twosome, and they kind of sweep up these boys in the action, and it's raunchy all the way around. Is it as good as Neighbors, another Zac Efron comedy? No. But for what it is, I think it's really funny.
I also like that there were other women in this movie who were really funny too. I mean, the women were all
the sister.
Alice Wedderland is the actress who plays the cousin Terry.
Oh yeah. Kind of looks a little like Kate McKinnon.
Mm.
You're right though. There's a scene where is it Anna Kendrick or is it Aubrey Plaza?
Anna Kendrick
gives the gift
$50
to the male masseuse to the bride to be
for
a little happy ending there. And whoever that guy is, that's just really no penetration. That's very funny.
But everything else you can possibly imagine that a man can do to a woman. including hanging over with like ropes and massaging every different part of the body, playing it like a bongo, and then I'm touching you with my aura and like all kinds of crazy stuff.
And there's a blooper with him at the end of the movie. Like they show outtakes. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Look, it's a stupid funny. It's a stupid funny movie. It's not, you know, it's
not great.
It's kind of raunchy, but if you know that going in, I think you'll have a good time, you know? I mean,
not worth the $14.99 I paid on Amazon,
perfect,
but it's worth $5 that you have to pay on Time Warner.
Perfect on-demand rental or a DVD rental. You know, the script was written by two guys who wrote Neighbors, and they also produced some Judd Apatow films. So there's some funny Apatow-influenced cultural references in there that kind of like are sprinkled throughout the movie that I like. And yeah, I agree with you, McCuddy. It is not worth $15 at the box office, but it's
or $15 on Amazon Prime.
Yes, but it's perfect for this. The only weak link to me was Adam Devine. I thought he was a little too over the top. I think another actor might have done more with the role, but he's okay. But
really, the women were better than the guys.
Yeah,
all the women.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, is it right? It's not. I'm trying to think of a great raunchy comedy. It's not
The Hangover.
It's not in the league of that, but I mean, yeah, you're sitting around with some, you know, you want something to do,
with your friends while you're drinking. It's a good drinking movie.
I know.
Because everybody. Knows.
Yeah, if you missed it in theaters, it's good on demand. It's out this week.
Right, and get in memory of Arnold Palmer. Drink an Arnold Palmer and watch it, and put some put a shot.
Hey, could I add something about a movie we talked about last week, or The Magnificent Seven?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I was at.
Told you it was going to be a big hit.
I was at a funeral this weekend.
Disappointed at the box office.
No, it wasn't. It made $36 million.
Yeah, that was lower than expectations.
No, it wasn't.
No, it depends on whose expectations you listen to.
Apparently Neil Rosen's expectations were higher.
I was at a funeral this weekend, and my poor nephew, who was 16, was getting tired of mourning adults. So I said, come on, I'm going to take you to the movies. I took him to see The Magnificent Seven. There were people coming out of the first show that evidently had never seen a Western before. They were freaking out. They loved this thing.
Uh-huh.
Because he ran into some of his friends, and we were asking him, what did you think?
This was in Massachusetts?
Yeah, this was in Massachusetts. So they were having a ball. It was also one of those theaters where they have the reclining seats, and they'll bring the popcorn to you at your seat.
Oh,
great.
So I went online and did all that stuff. Yeah, actually injured myself getting out of the seat at the end of the movie.
Please have your tray table in an upright position.
Yeah, that was a little difficult.
Which, by the way, Sully, they thought
it played really well. People really liked this movie.
And it was beat Sully. Everyone said Sully was going to be number one, and this was number one instead.
Racially a very mixed crowd, too, which was good to see. I think they all came to see Denzel, but so what? They all came out.
By the way, speaking of Denzel, I've seen the trailer, which was just released today, and I encourage people to look at it, for Fences, the August Wilson movie. And I didn't realize Denzel directed this. But,
no, I didn't realize that either.
But it looks very strong.
James Earl Jones.
Yeah, which I saw on Broadway.
Me too. That was in the Langford Wilson play. And
Wilson.
I'm sorry, August Wilson. And Langford Wilson wrote, I think, Tally's Folly, but nonetheless.
Yeah. We digress.
Yes, August Wilson.
That's what we do every week.
Yeah, they don't really make, I mean, there's so many good August Wilson plays, and they, you know, I'm really looking forward to see how they make a film version of this, because, Two Trains Running is tremendous, and there's just so many that he's made. So maybe this will start a trend of August Wilson plays that they're making into movies. But this is having not seen it, I've seen the play, having not seen the movie, they're saying that Denzel is kind of an odds-on favorite to get a nomination.
Yeah, he's been in all the odds, but nobody's seen the movie. And what I'm saying is the trailer is now out. It's a pretty long trailer. It's got a long speech from him in it that looks like Oscar bait, and I'd be very surprised if this wasn't a contender.
Meanwhile, the kid in that Miss Stevens movie, it's a drama competition. And he does a Biff Lohman speech, a monologue, which is pretty good monologue.
Yeah, you knew he was going to be good because the film intentionally doesn't show you him working. And then the girl who thinks she's Reese Witherspoon in Election gets up and chokes. It's really good.
No, but
I'm glad you liked it. Well, I'm really happy you enjoyed it.
I thought the kid did a good Death of a Salesman monologue doing Biff Lohman. I mean, I've seen that monologue.
You're right. There's so much to recommend for this movie. You're right. It's just one thing after another.
Yeah.
All right. What are we seeing next week?
We're going to be talking about Birth of a Nation next week.
Talk about a hot button.
Yeah.
And racially sensitive. And you went to a movie theater with people that saw Magnificent Seven from all race, creed, and color. This is the $17 million buy at Sundance that was supposed to make all the Oscar people happy, that we were going to be more Diversified this year, and we'll see.
We're going to be doing a chicken documentary called, what's it called? Chicken...
Deluxe or Chicken...
No.
Chicken Little?
No, it's not Chicken Little. I'm sorry.
It's a documentary about chickens that perform.
And it got like this unbelievable...
Yeah, it's a lot of critics like it.
It got this unbelievable...
Not unlike Miss Stevens, which is running about 90% on...
We're also going to do a movie called Microbe and Gasoline.
Yeah, that sounds good.
What a title. How'd they come up with that title in the meeting? You know what I mean? Like,
I'll give you $5 million here.
I know.
I'm sure it goes way too soft on BP, Microbe and Gasoline. I'm sure they could have
capped the
gasoline.
Give me a great movie with a terrible title. Not that necessarily impacted the bad, or it could be impacted the bad outcome of the box office of the movie, but I'll give you a couple.
Dr. T and the Women?
Yeah. Forrest Gump is a really bad title for a movie, even though now everybody knows the movie, but it's really not a good title. But the movie that – there was a movie called – the original movie was Cop Tips Waitress $1 Million.
Right.
Which is a great title for a movie. And
right.
It's a movie with Nicolas Cage and Bridget Fonda.
Right.
And the
– based on a true story.
Yeah, and they wound up – I don't even remember what they wound up calling it, but they changed it to some generic –
It had to be you or it should be you
yeah,
or something
yeah,
like
it,
that.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, it had to be you, I think. Yeah, so that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I can't think of any. I just think of the New York Post headline. What was it? Headless Body in a Topless Bar.
Oh, that's,
that
ever get, well,
but
that's,
they,
a,
but they topped
headline.
Themselves this week with Brangelina.
What'd they write?
They had the covers. It was the dates of like 2004 to 2016.
Oh, with Jennifer Aniston.
And Jennifer Aniston laughing her ass off.
Well,
that was gutsy.
There's an Anthony Weiner documentary that's out there called Weiner that we talked about on the show today, which is quite good. But they were showing all these headlines throughout the documentary from the New York Post
right.
Danger. It just lends itself because the guy's name is Weiner, you know, and that's how he got in trouble. I mean, and all these plays on words. I mean, and some of them were just like hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a good movie. It's like the Elliot Spitzer movie, which, you know, the guy is a bad guy, he's a smart guy. And, you know, these people get sucked into politics and suddenly they're sending out pictures of their dicks. It's crazy.
There's a scene at the beginning of that Weiner documentary where nothing to do with the scandal, where he's just in Congress yelling and screaming on the floor of Congress. Fighting for 9/11 survivors to get money, the first responders, and it's just riveting. I mean, and you look at this and you go, this guy really, you know, literally screwed himself up, you know. But did you see the movie, Bregoli?
No, I only saw parts of it, long parts of it.
But you know,
no pun intended.
But you know, you look at this guy. I mean, and as a just looking at his political, the guy was a powerful figure in Congress, and then he had to go and just screw himself. And
incredible access for the filmmakers, as we talked about on the show, and an unbelievable turn of events after this movie is in the can, where he again goes out and does it again, and that's from this, you know, the last couple of weeks. And to watch the movie knowing that it happens yet again makes it even more incredible.
And there you go. So
that's our show.
That's our show. So thanks for sitting around talking movies with us. And sit around talking movies with us next week, okay? Have a good week.